Facebook Live family, church family, all who are watching this broadcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to us and listening to us and partnering with us this morning to watch this. And, of course, I want to let you in on a little good news. This is our day, what we designated as our church anniversary service. So happy anniversary, Triumph Word Christian Center. Hallelujah. And so we invite you to come on in, celebrate with us, join in with us as we serve and worship the Lord. Let's go before the Father God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for your will today. We thank you, Father God, for your faithfulness for all these years of being so good to us. And your faithfulness is unfailing and unending. Your mercies are new every morning, and we say thank you for it, Lord. And we're so happy and so awesomely grateful for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do in and through our lives. And we give you all the glory today, and all the honor and praise belongs to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so we invite you, friends, to join in with us as we lead into the portion of our service, which we call our worship through our offering time. And so we want to worship God in our giving and our receiving from God. So I want to give you a little bit of note up on our anniversary Sunday, talking about this theme or topic as we prepare our hearts and minds to give, which is excelling in the grace of generosity. You can say that with me, excel in the grace of generosity. So the Bible says you do well and excel in every respect in unstoppable faith. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. And, of course, in powerful preaching and revelation knowledge, in your passionate devotion, and in sharing the love we have shown to you. So make sure that you also excel in this grace-filled generosity. So the Bible tells us, this is in the Passion Translation, 2 Corinthians 8, 7, that we are to excel in the grace-filled, in grace-filled generosity. Excel in grace-filled generosity. So it's important and very essential that we all see to it that we excel in this grace of giving and receiving, as it's called sometimes, or in other words, the grace of generosity. And so why do we do that, Pastor Ed? Well, we do that, number one, because the kingdom of heaven doesn't measure our value and worth by what we have, ladies and gentlemen. But it measures our worth and value by what we give. Giving's a real big deal in heaven. Giving a real big deal to God, because God is a giver. And so it's not our having status that matters most, but our giving record that matters most. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, in the Passion Translations as well, says, generosity brings prosperity. Withholding from charity brings poverty. Did you hear that? Generosity brings prosperity. And withholding from charity brings poverty. And those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them. That's how we're supposed to live. And the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. And so we've often said, we've got it from another minister, lack doesn't come from money we don't have. Lack comes from money we do have, we shouldn't have. And so generosity is a major characteristic for us and a character trait for us as leaders and Christ followers. Because without generosity, a person can stop the move of God or the momentum of the work of God in our respective church or family or ministry. And so generosity is a real big deal. And he starts us off, friends, by training us in generosity at 10%. And we call that in the Bible tithing. So that's the starting point, not the finishing point. So we start with our generous lifestyle of giving our tithes, returning back to the Lord what belongs to him. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and 11, also in the Passion Translation. For you have experienced the extravagant grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was infinitely rich, he impoverished himself for our sake, so that by his poverty you could become rich beyond measure. So here are my thoughts concerning this matter. That, and it is your best interest, since you've made such a good start last year, both in the grace of giving, there's that word again, and in your longing to give, you should finish what you started. You were so eager and with your intentions to give, so go and do it. Finish this act of worship according to your ability to give. And so we invite you to do that. Grace giving, as we've shared, is sacrificial, it's spontaneous, it's selfless, it's systematic, it's spiritual, it is sincere, and it is steadfast. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, going over another chapter, in 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 8, here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart and not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, but all because God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough for everything, every moment, and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. See, friends, the greatest motivation to give is the desire to be involved in what God is doing. And so that's what we're inviting you to do. Get involved in what God is doing. Get involved in the supporting the preaching and teaching of the gospel and the proliferation of the word of God that meets the needs of all mankind. And, of course, the Christian experiences joy as they partner and participate in giving and this profound and lofty work of the ministry and the abundant good works of God. So would you get involved? You have an opportunity right now. And so we have some convenience and easy ways for you to give. You can give to us through text your giving. So you can put the dollar amount and then text it to this number, 210-941-1605. 210-941-1605. Or you can go to our website. It's easy. It's convenient. It's secure for you. It's www.twcc-sa.org/give. And if you want to connect with us, you can connect with us online as well. You can connect and just send us an email, or if you have questions or whatever, send it to connect@twcc-sa.org, or you can send a text message. You can text us your prayer. You can text us a question or whatever you want to do at 210-941-3322. That's 210-941-3322. God bless you. Again, let's pray and receive the offering. We've already received the offering here. We want to give you online viewers a chance to partner with us and participate with us in giving. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege, and we thank you for the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Our motive and our motivation, Father God, is we give because we love God. We love you, Lord. We love your kingdom. We love your church. And we want to see Triumphant Word Christian Center and all the other churches of God flourish and prosper and stay healthy and strong financially. Thank you, Father God, for this privilege and this opportunity to give, to bring our tithes back to you, to give freely and cheerfully our offerings. And Father God, to even bring our extra as we celebrate your faithfulness in this church, particularly in our anniversary day. And we thank you, Father, that you're so good. We thank you because we've given your word promises us that it'll be given back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give into the bosom, our bosom. And we thank you, Father God, that you will supply and fill all of our need according to your riches and glory. Not according to what we see and what we have, but according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you so much thanks and gratitude for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Well, let's take some time there and give and sow generously. And we thank you so much for your generosity and your partnership with us as a church family. Now let's get into the Word of God as you sow your seed there. and worship the Lord in your giving, we're going to get into the Word of God. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. So let's just partner up with the Holy Spirit as he helps us convey truths about him in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that your word is so powerful. It's so sharper than any two-edged sword. It's so real. It never changes. It never fails. It never returns back to you void. And we thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit, who will anoint us not only to speak your word, but also to see clearly the truths of your word and comprehend them and hear them and see them with great clarity and with great insight and concept and understanding in Jesus' name. Thank you for revelation knowledge, and we thank you for the anointing that shall destroy any burden and remove any yoke of bondage in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise for it. Amen. 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 So today we're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about our genius helper, teacher, and guide. Our genius helper, teacher, and guide. So last week we shared about the advantage and about the power and purpose of the Holy Spirit. And so today we're going to emphasize in this week the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Is he a forgotten God in your life? He shouldn't be, because the Holy Spirit, as a born-again Christian believer, should be very real, and you should have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, in your heart and life. So we all been involved with the Holy Spirit since the first we've heard of the good news of that Jesus took our place and bore our penalty for our sins as our great substitute, and the sacrifice of his sinless and spotless life for ours. The Holy Spirit was involved. It was the Holy Spirit through the Word who made the truth that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead a reality and a revelation in our hearts. Romans 10:9 says to us that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. It makes you saved. And if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, stay with us through the end, and we'll pray a prayer. We're going to pray with you, and we're going to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, so you can be saved. Amen. That's what God wants, all people to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And then again, we look at 1 Corinthians 12:3, and it says to us, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. And you friends, you know that some people don't necessarily use Jesus' name in a respectful or honorable means. They use it as a word that's coupled with profanity or some sort of vainness in that regard. But you can't say Jesus, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. That's what he's talking about. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is involved in even our confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit for you to be able to declare and decree that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the sinless, spotless Lamb who took away the sins of the whole world, came to make it possible for us to receive the nature of God, eternal life. John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that you might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. See, Jesus could not get a man or woman born again while he was on the earth. During his earthly ministry, just 3.5 years of earthly ministry, he had the power to forgive sins, but there could be no new creation, no new birth until Jesus paid the sin price at the cross of Calvary and became the firstborn from the dead. He had to precede us in his death, burial, and resurrection and be the firstborn from the dead. That's why, as we got in a few weeks, a couple weeks, matter of fact, coming up with Easter and Resurrection Sunday is so critical to us. Because if he just died for our sins, we still be in our sins. He could forgive us, but that couldn't save us. Forgiveness only. We needed to be forgiven. Our sins needed to be redeemed. We needed to be washed by the blood. The price and the penalty for our sins needed to be paid. But we needed to be justified as the righteousness of God, and that came through and by the resurrection of the Lord. Because Christ is not dead, he's alive. And so we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that's what enables us and empowers us to be saved. We're not just, friends, a forgiven sinner. Because that has no power in it. We are saved by grace, and we have been born again into new life with Christ. Now, let's talk about the person and the advantage of the Holy Spirit for just a minute. In John chapter 16, verse 7, and then we're going to skip down to 12 through 15, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." So this is Jesus telling us, friends, it's advantageous for him to go away. "For if I do not go away, the helper," I know the King James says comforter, others may say something else, "but will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now notice the Holy Spirit is identified and described by Jesus as a person. A personality. He's not a it. He's not some ethereal mist. He's not some ghost somewhere that's unfathomable. He is a person. "He, the helper, will not come. If I depart, I will send him to you." And then in verse 12, he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but I cannot bear them now. However, when he," there he gives again, "the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." Now say it with me. The Holy Spirit is a person. And so he is a person. And he will tell you things to come. Verse 14, "He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and will declare it to you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he will take of mine and declare it unto you." Now, many times in these verses, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as a person. He's not an it. He's not some mystical mist. He is a person. A person you and I are to have a close-knit relationship with. Now, Jesus told us that the man who walked by his side, and the men who worked by his side for 3.5 years, that it was more profitable and advantageous for them if he went away and sent them the Holy Spirit. Thank God that he did, because we have the advantage. Now, one big reason is this, that the Holy Spirit is not just smart, he is genius. You know, the Holy Spirit was at the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. He was the agency that carried out the action of creation by God's word, spoken word. See, he's a genius. He's architected and orchestrated everything. He's a genius. He knows everything about anything. See, when you listen, when you cooperate with and respond to him, he will make you and me look smart. Since he's a genius, he knows everything. He knows the mind of God. And everything that Jesus has purchased for us. He knows all your benefits. He knows all of what you've been redeemed from and what you're being redeemed to. It's great to have a genius living inside of you. Everybody say, I've got the genius of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. So it was a miraculous and genius work of the Holy Spirit that made you a born-again new creature in Christ. The Bible refers to it as the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That means you've been regened, refathered. You have the DNA of God. It was the agency and the person of the Holy Spirit that did that. See, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit came upon you and overshadowed you. And just as he did Mary when she was there and was conceived in her, the holy thing. When Jesus was called the Immaculate Conception, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. Luke 1:35 tells us, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Think of this, friends. Think of it and imagine this, that spiritual death was eradicated from your spirit. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Spiritual death, I'll say that again, was eradicated from your spirit. We were all infected and injected with death, destruction, and doom to hell. But then came Jesus. He died for our sins. He went and was buried and rose again on the third day and ascended to the Father up on high. And that gave us access to get that spiritual death eradicated from our spirit. See, spiritual death is separation from God. It's God's presence, it's God's power, it's God's peace, it's God's protection, and it's God's provision. So you get separated from that because we were in our sins. We were dead in the trespasses and deeds of our sins. But we've been made alive in Christ. Hallelujah. And then we were born again into a new life, a brand new spirit being. A brand new species of being, new in kind and new in quality. No longer spiritually dead, but alive with the life of God, the nature of God, the ability of God, the DNA of God, something never that existed before. You're so brand new, someone once said you had to introduce yourself to your new self. You got a new spirit. You didn't just get retreaded, you got recreated in Christ Jesus. Somebody say glory to God for that. So friends, your first birth was wonderful. And many times we celebrate, and we should, and people honor us on our birthday. But your new birth is awesome and glorious. As a born-again child of God, you have the DNA of God. The life of God, the nature of God, the ability of God in your newborn, recreated human spirit. Isn't that good? And so you're literally born of God. You're God's child. That's why we say you're a child of God. See, you're not just some worm, some beggarly, outcasted individual. You are a child of the living God. 1 John 3:2 tells us, beloved, now are we the children of God. There it is again. There it is. You are the children. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But when we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. In other words, we've got the same stuff, the same status, the same power, the same DNA, the same substance that Jesus has in himself is in us through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. We shall see him as he is. 1 John 5:1 tells us, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? This is the anointed one and his anointing. He was the archetype and the prototype and the only type and God's the last Adam. He came and got it done. And then we are Christians or Christians, little anointed ones, just like Christ, with the same power, the same power, the same Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And it says, everyone who loves him is begotten also, who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. So the miracle of the new birth should never become a commonplace to us. It should never become a commonplace to you and me. Every day we ought to say, thank you, Lord, for making me born again. How do you keep that salvation joy active and alive in your heart and mind? You got to thank God for it. You have to acknowledge that I'm a new creation in Christ, that I every day is a brand new in a new day than Christ. See, it's not a theological idea, but it's an actual fact. So here's some other spiritual facts about the genius of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit personally carries out the miracle of the new birth when you made Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. The Holy Spirit takes a sin-ridden, selfish man or woman and recreates their spirit in God's image, and this changes that person's nature. It changes their nature. You got a new nature. See, this is great, miraculous, and supernatural event in the realm of the spirit. That's why heaven rejoices when one sinner comes to God. Because that's a new spirit. That's an event in heaven. Just like we would have events now here on earth. There's been lots of events of recently that have been negative. But in heaven, they're rejoicing over one person that comes to God. See, the Holy Spirit, secondly, the Holy Spirit takes what Jesus has done for us and translates it into our personal victory. Now, you got to chew on that for me. Because he said he will take what's mine and show it unto you. In other words, the Holy Spirit is in show business. He will, remember in the old kindergarten, some of us remember kindergarten, elementary school, they had what they call show and tell. So the Holy Spirit is like showing you and telling you so you can understand, hey, this is who you are, this is where you are, this is what you have in Christ. In other words, Jesus said he will take the things of Christ and translate them to you for personal victory. Lord, how do I get over this proclivity to worry and stress out, particularly during these times? He will take the things of Christ and translate them to your personal victory. Who does that? The Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. So how do I stop from being afraid and being nervous and being anxious and yielding to these ungodly fears? The Holy Spirit will take the things of Christ and he will translate them to you for your personal victory. Hallelujah. How do I get over the proclivity to overeat and be addicted to things that I shouldn't be addicted to? He will take, the Holy Spirit will take the things of Christ and translate them to you for personal victory. How do you think about when you hear that phrase? The Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ. In other words, he was tempted at all points, like we were, the Bible says, but yet without sin, without stumbling, no guile found in his mouth. If he takes what belongs to what Jesus accomplished, and who he is now, and takes it to you and says, this is who you are. That's not who you are. You're not one that falls apart when pressure's on. You're not one that runs in the closet and goes in the corner and hides and hopes for the rapture to come real quick because I just want to escape out of this problem, these problems in life. He takes the things of Christ. I don't think we get that yet. He takes the things of Christ and translate them to us for personal benefit. Christ faced some impossible situations. He faced threats on his own life. He faced all kinds of situations, opposition that was coming against him, but he was victorious through them all. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do to you and me. And he will take the things of Christ and translate them to us for personal victory. See, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the Word of God are essential to faith. Here's another spiritual fact, third spiritual fact. The Holy Spirit transmits the mind of Christ to us. In other words, we can think like God thinks, and we are when we were filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we always say when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you think better. You don't think carnal. You don't think natural only. Now, you got to think, because when you're not thinking, you make mistakes. But you got to think. But you got to think on a higher level. You got to say, let this mind be in me that was also in Christ, the anointed one, in his anointing. Remember, we translate that word in Christ Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. Come on, everybody say that. I have the mind of Christ. I hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. See, we must learn to recognize and respond and yield to the Holy Spirit. Guys, we've forgotten the Holy Spirit for the most part, that he's with us, and not only with us, he's in us all the time. You have a great senior partner in your life who will help you with every case that you face. See, the Holy Spirit ministry is not only to impart the nature of God and into the spirit of man, but also live in us as new creatures and reveal to us the exact knowledge of God. Holy Spirit, let me see what God thinks. You've got a face problem, and sometimes we just start crying and breaking down because we think this is hopeless. This is impossible. I can't deal with this. But you got help. You got genius help. You got genius teaching. You got genius guidance in the person of the Holy Spirit. Here's another big reason. The Holy Spirit is an expert. P.C. Nelson wrote the book, The Fundamentals of Bible Doctrine for the Assemblies of God organization. And he was a Greek and Hebrew scholar, fluent in 32 different languages. And he explained the Holy Spirit as our advocate has excellence in three areas. Because, see, this word helper in the Amplified Classic Version, or King James, it says comforter. This word helper is expanded into really six things. He's our helper. He's our strengthener. He's our counselor. He's our intercessor. He's our standby. He's our advocate. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He has different roles and different responsibilities in our life, and he's never off. He's never asleep. He's always ready. He's come alongside you and inside of you to help you. And so P.C. Nelson's talking about the advocacy of the Holy Spirit, the advocate, excellent. He was an expert in knowledge because the Holy Spirit is an expert. He's an expert in knowledge. If you don't know something, the Holy Spirit knows more about what you don't know than anybody else. He's an expert in protocol and procedure. Now, tomorrow, we're going to talk more about the help of the Holy Spirit in the context of prayer, because the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness because we don't know how to pray. We don't know what we should say. And the Holy Spirit is an expert in procedure and protocol. In other words, he's the governor of the kingdom. He's the one who created. He's the governor of the kingdom of God. The spirit realm is led by the Holy Spirit. And he knows the exact prayer. He knows the exact words. And then, of course, number three, he is an expert in persuasive speaking ability. See, did you know your words are so powerful? And the Holy Spirit knows how to give you the right words to utter and say. When the Holy Spirit is working on our case, this P.C. Nelson goes on to say, we have tremendous advantage. The Holy Spirit within our born-again spirits enables us and empowers us as a new creations to walk in newness of life. Every day is to be a new day in Christ for us as born-again Christian believers. Come, somebody say amen to that. So the Holy Spirit who gives us eternal life, the life of God, must also sustain that life in us. See, he's the ever-energized one. He doesn't need plugging in like our phones or like this tablet. He doesn't need to get plugged in to get power. He is the ultimate power. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so he gives us this eternal life, but he also sustains that life and renews that life in us every day and in every way. See, every day you can get filled with the Holy Spirit again and again. You get it a fresh infusion of strength from the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take out the heart of stone and out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. He could have gave us an angel, but he didn't. He could have gave us something else, but he didn't. God gave us his very own spirit, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And calls you to walk in my statutes. It's too hard serving the Lord. It's too hard living right. No. The Holy Spirit will help you. He will teach you, and he will guide you. He's a genius. He's an expert. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he said, walk in my statutes and keep my judgment and what? Do them. Now let's talk about the comforter, the helper inside of you for just a moment. And it says to us in John 14, 15 through 17, and verse 26, and I'm reading it out of Amplified so you can get the full expanse of this. It says, if you really love me, you will keep my and obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Now, this word another or another comforter is a Greek word that means one just like me. So Jesus was the perfect model. He was the perfect mentor. He was the perfect manager, and he was the perfect motivator. And so just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your life to give you a perfect model, a perfect mentorship, come on now, and a perfect managerial ability, and a perfect motivation. And he said the comforter, and this says the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, that he may remain in you forever. How long? In you forever. Now listen to this, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome or take into its heart, because they have to be born again. They have to receive Jesus first. See, the precedence is receiving Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, then receiving the Holy Spirit in all his fullness. Not the when you receive Jesus, receive all the person of the Holy Spirit, but at the filling of the Holy Spirit, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it does not see him, and it does not or know him or recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. He lives in you constantly. So how conscious and how cognizant are we about the Holy Spirit on the inside of us? Or we should be spirit inside minded. God inside minded, God the Holy Spirit inside minded. And he says, but the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. Listen to this. He will teach you how many things? All things. He will cause you to recall. He calls you to recall and will remind you of and bring to your remembrance everything I've taught you. There's been times, friends, when things that I forgot 5 years ago, the Holy Spirit will bring that back to my remembrance. because I needed that information. I needed that knowledge. I needed that wisdom now. There's stuff 10 years ago that got the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. Brings me to a place where he says, go get that book, go look at that note, and I go back and look at it, and that's the answer I needed for that moment at that time. He will teach you all things. Thank you, Lord. And let's see, this word comforter, let's elaborate on that a little bit more. The word comforter does not only means consolation or sympathy and sorrow or distress. He's not talking about the big pillow, a big pillow or a big blanket, and you lay your head and you're stressed out and you're overwhelmed, so to speak. No, it means much, much, much more. The Greek word is the Greek word parakletos. I hope I pronounced that right. Don't judge me if I don't pronounce it right. But parakletos, which, and William Barclay describes the Holy Spirit in this way. Listen to this. The function of the Holy Spirit is to fill a man with the spirit of power and courage, which would make him triumphantly cope with life. Now, we need that right now, don't we? The narrowing of the word comforter has resulted in undue narrowing of the work of the Holy Spirit. See, the word parakletos, or the advocate or legal defense, as William Barclay in his study of the New Testament words, has these enlightening comments about the Greek words describing who the Holy Spirit is and what his work is in the life of a born-again believer. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, but he's also our helper and strengthener. The parakletos is one who does these things. Listen to this. He is, number one, he's called to render service. Number two, he's called to help in a situation in which a man or woman by himself cannot cope. How many know we need the Holy Spirit? Jesus would not say to us, receive the Holy Spirit, if we did not need him. But he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Number three, he will keep a man on his feet, and when left to himself would collapse. Anybody ever felt like collapsing? You were overwhelmed with so much trouble and trauma, you just felt like passing out. Close up the shades and curtains, get under the covers, and hope that it gets better. Because you're about to collapse. We've all been there. See, the Holy Spirit enables a person to pass the breaking point and not break. Many may have felt that may be my life story right now. I'm past the breaking point, Pastor. But the Holy Spirit will help you pass it, but don't break. Number four, he is the friend of the accused person. He is called in to support his character in order to enlist the sympathy of the judge, our Father God, in his favor. Number five, he is the counsel of the defense, someone who will present someone's case to another in the most favorable light. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Now, Smith Wigglesworth said this once. He said, it is a luxury to be filled with the Spirit, and at the same time, it's a divine command. I'm sharing with you, friends, the urgency and the great need for each and every one of us during these turbulent times, during these uncertain seasons in our lives, that we need the Holy Spirit now more than ever. You need to have a relationship with the person, and you need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit every day and in every way. Now, so my last encouragement to you is to receive and respond to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been working, had been working with the disciples. They had been preaching. They had been healing back the sick and casting out demons. And they had been with them and working with them. But Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes to abide in you forever, he would live inside of you. We need to keep the Holy Spirit active and alive inside of us. John 20, verse 21 and 22 says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when you have said this, he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And I say to you again, friends, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, after Jesus had been raised from the dead, he appeared to them, and they were born again as he breathed the life of God into them, saying, receive the Holy Spirit. Eternal life comes into them, and they receive the life of God in their spirit. The Spirit of God who gave them the life began to dwell in them. From that moment on, they're changed, just like you and I. When you and I receive the Holy Spirit, we will be changed and transformed. And like the disciples, we'll no longer be troubled, afraid, and sad. Because they were troubled, afraid, and sad when he said, I got to go away. I got to go to the cross. And they began to get sad. And just like too often, too many people are troubled, afraid, and sad today. But the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's also our comforter and strengthener. In Acts 1:8, Amplified Classic says, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and in ends of the very bounds of the earth. See, we will receive and respond to the Holy Spirit. He will enable us and equip us with ability, efficiency, and might to effectively deal with the pains and problems of life we all face today. Everybody say ability, efficiency, and might. Ability is just basically the quality or state of being able, especially physical, mental, or legal power to do something. It means to have the competence in doing something or a skill. You can't do it, the Holy Spirit can enable you to do it. I can't deal with this, the Holy Spirit can enable you to deal with it with skill. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Now, efficiency is effectiveness, productiveness, the quality or degree of being efficient. That means you don't waste time, you don't squander your time or resources, you manage your time. The Holy Spirit can help you buy the right groceries. That would be the best meals, to buy the best can or the best container or the best package or the best gallon of milk. He can help you with anything and everything. Don't go shopping without the Holy Spirit. And then might. Everybody say might. The might, the power, authority, and resources wielded, bodily strength, the power, energy, or intensity of which one is capable. That means when you get to that breaking point and you feel physically or mentally or emotionally feel exhausted and exasperated or about to break, the Holy Spirit can keep you from breaking. And friends, lastly, the way you yield to the Holy Spirit is the same way you yield to all the will of God. Now, you don't just say, well, I yield to him one time at the church altar and I receive the Holy Spirit. No, you have to receive and respond to the Holy Spirit every day, because every day is a new day in Christ. And so you have to yield to the Holy Spirit, and it corresponds to how you yield to the will of God for your life. So the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. So you can neglect him, you can ignore him, you can even disrespect and disregard his leadings and promptings and dealings in your life. But you have to yield to the Holy Spirit. That means you have to surrender and yield to the Holy Spirit and say, you already seen ahead. Because we just read in John 16 that he will guide you into all truth and he will show you things to come. He knows the end from the beginning of your day, and he will lead you along the right way in everything you do and everything you think and everything you say. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit. You have to respond to the Holy Spirit. See, receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues will, as the Bible gives evidence of, will take you all your receiving to a whole new dimension. One famous man of God who's in heaven today, very powerful man of God, said, you know, the more he yielded to the Holy Spirit and prayed in the Spirit, the more he received and the more was accomplished in his life. How much do you yield to him? How How much do you receive him? See, receive the Holy Spirit. Respond to the Holy Spirit. And be filled with the Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. God bless you, friends. If you need Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, let's pray this prayer with me together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I come to Jesus. I come to you, Lord, with my whole heart. I give you my life, my complete life, all of myself to you. Forgive me of my sins as I repent of sin and I denounce Satan. I take and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and was raised again by God on the third day. And Jesus is alive today, and he is Lord of all. I receive Jesus Christ, and I confess Jesus is Lord over my life. I am saved. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for making me a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am born again, washed in the blood. Heaven is my home. And now that I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I receive the Holy Spirit. The gift of salvation is mine. And now I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit into my heart, into my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord, with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. Thank you for my new language, my new spiritual language, in Jesus' name. Now just lift your hands and thank God and praise God, and you just begin to magnify God as you receive the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now if you did that, if you did that experience, write to us or email us at connect@twcc-sa.org, or you can text us and let us know. 210-941-3322. 210-941-3322. Let us know what God is doing in your life. And we'll see you tomorrow night if you follow with us at 6 o'clock, hallelujah, for Facebook Live. 6 o'clock Central Time, Facebook Live. And we'll continue more on the Holy Spirit. God bless you. We love you. Be blessed and have a great day in the Lord.